This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You can always get in touch with the show online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page, leave a comment for the show there. You can always get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. Text the show 843-608-1734. Or you can always join the conversation on the phones 843-721-9500. If you ever miss anything from the show, find it on demand. The show podcasted in full. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. Closed out last hour talking about the loss the Gamecocks were handed in the last 24 hours despite not playing a basketball game anytime soon. Missing out on Malachi Smith, who chose Gonzaga, and you can understand why. But it looked like maybe he'd choose the Gamecocks, and boy, that would have been a good get for South Carolina. Speaking of which, you could join the Gamecock Club for the Charleston County Welcome Home Tour, featuring head basketball coach Lamont Paris and football coach Shane Beamer, who we also heard from last hour. Exclusive Gamecock athletic updates, a Q&A session, autographs, and more. It's going on in less than 2 weeks, coming up Thursday, June 16th at the Porter Room at Holy City Brewing Company. Doors open at 6 p.m., and tickets are $40 for adults, $15 for kids 12 and under. Tickets include food provided by the Kickin' Chicken. And cash bar is available. Thursday, June 16th, it's coming up at the Porter Room at Holy City Brewing Company. Join the Gamecock Club for the Charleston County Welcome Home Tour with Shane Beamer and Lamont Paris. Should be fun in a couple of weeks. Hey, speaking of the text line, somebody had texted the show and asked Trent that they said they too like Ozark. We love Ozark around. By the way, you're going through Ozark right now. Where are you at in your Ozark binge?
So I had to a couple things be going on, Luke. So right now I'm at season 4, episode 4 or 5, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. All so right. we're getting there, Luke. We're getting there.
Hey, that's okay. Let it, like I said with the NBA playoffs, drag it out as long as it can, because once you're done, there's no more.
Bingo.
Right. I just made it to the final season, finally, of Parks and Rec.
Finally.
I started that binge. Right after like New Year's weekend, and now here we are in June, and I still haven't finished the show.
Still call it a binge, though. Still call it a binge. Yeah,
yeah. It's been a real hard. It's been. I might call it more of a bender. Let me tell you, we've been getting wild, taking 6 months to go through 6 seasons. It's been crazy. So I just finally yesterday, I think it was, finally made it to the final season. So now we got 13 episodes to go. I've really been dragging it out. Anyway, somebody asked. They said that you had referenced. I don't know if you recall. You had referenced a show that was, if people liked Ozark, they would also like this other show. Do you have any idea what that was?
It might have been, I say it all the time on this program here, it might have been Peaky Blinders, if I'm not mistaken. Now, they're different shows, but, you know, crime, gangs, things of that nature. You know, it does have a little Ozark type of feel in it.
Yeah, this texter said that you had mentioned Ozark a while back and that you liked it as they do, as the texter does. So they were curious what this other show was similar. Yeah, maybe Peaky Blinders.
Could be. Yeah, I don't watch too many. It's only like Ozark, Peaky Blinders, and then some sitcoms that I really get into. I mean, I got to get into Stranger Things at some point. You know, I have to get that season 4. And apparently it's a little scary, though, Luke. It's a little scary.
Well, then maybe I'll check it out. You've watched the other seasons?
Yeah, I've seen the other seasons. Just haven't got into it yet. But apparently it's like the first couple seconds. I don't want to give anything away. It's kind of like a Squid Game type of show early on in it. So strap in, folks.
Interesting. I haven't watched a single episode, but I've wanted to. I don't know. I've been hesitant because it's right. Anything set in the 80s like is right up my alley. I love that. But anybody that knows me also knows I don't like sci-fi stuff.
Right.
So that's the balance. So I don't know. And now we're 4 seasons in. It's a little daunting. A lot of episodes I got to catch up on. At some point, maybe I'll dive in.
They're doing the same thing, too, with the last season of Stranger Things, where there's a part two coming out. Mm. I mean, come on, people. Let's go.
A little bit of a pet peeve. Why don't we just call that season five?
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, why do we call it two? What's the difference? You're taking the delay anyways. It's own other, like, chapter. Like, you'll see it with the Ozark episodes. Like, it has a different, you know, like they don't feel connected. It feels like another season.
Right.
I don't like this. Season four, part one, and then part two. Part two is going to come out a few months. Just call it a different season. Why do we do this? Pet peeve. Just call it season five instead of splitting up the same seasons. I started Severance.
Mm.
I watched the first episode. I've heard nothing but good things. I got to be honest. Started a little slow. Now, I'm not going to bail on it because I am very intrigued by the show. It's my guy, Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard nothing but good things, so I'm not bailing. But I watched the first episode at this point a couple weeks ago, and I haven't gone back. So eventually, I'll go. That's probably next on my list. And then also, I'll tell you what else, and then I'm going to rant about golf in just a moment. But while we talk TV, The Offer.
Ooh.
Now, this is a show. I've mentioned this before because I also was hesitant about this. It's a show about the making of The Godfather. And it felt a little too, like, Hollywood-y. Like, do you really need to make a full... It's like a 10-episode series. Do you really need a full series talking about the making of a movie? It just seemed like it was too... It didn't seem necessary. However, the trailer looks fantastic, and my parents have started to watch it, and they have said good things about it.
Good cast, no doubt.
Yes. Miles Teller is the main character.
Our guy.
That's right. And, I guess. I don't know the story. I don't know how well told the story has been previously to, you know, prior to this series, but I guess, like, there were a lot of obstacles in getting that movie made, and even, like, the mafia was trying to intimidate the producers because it would make Italians look bad. So there's, I guess, a really, I don't know how much of it is a little fabricated or exaggerated. Hollywood usually does. But if you watch the trailer, if you kind of read up about it, it does sound pretty interesting. I thought originally, like, why do I need a 10-up about making a movie? I thought it was going to be about, like, casting and this, but I guess there was a lot of drama behind the scenes, and the producer that tried to get the movie made was really desperate to try to, you know, resurrect his career. So I guess it's actually a pretty fascinating story. That's also probably next on my list. I'll get to The Offer, right? Once the NBA Finals ends, or now we're getting to this point where, like, come Monday, the NBA Finals game two Sunday, then game three is Wednesday. Now, I watch baseball every night, but still, you put that on one screen and you're watching, like, with one eye. You have it in the background. Monday night, like, there's no big game to watch. No Monday Night Football, no NBA Finals. You know, we're at the time of the year now where I do a lot more binging. So The Offer and Severance will probably be next on my list.
Severance has Adam Scott in it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Yeah, that looked good.
Yeah, he's a great actor. And it's an interesting idea. It's intriguing. I don't know. I watched only the first episode, and it just didn't hook me right away. But I'll come back. You know, sometimes these shows, it takes you a few episodes to get hooked.
How many episodes do you give it before you just let it go?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think, obviously, I always say more than one. I have some buddies that will watch one episode and they bail. You got to give it more than one episode. Maybe three. But I think every show is different. Like, Ozark hooked me right away. First episode I was in. I know other people have said, like, that show starts slow. I disagree. It got me right. Opening scene, I'm into it. Outer Banks, which is filmed here in Charleston, they're filming the third season right now. It's a little bit of a guilty pleasure for me because I don't think I'm the demographic, but I like that show. That was one that it took about half the first season to really reel me in. And then I probably should have stopped after the first season, but here I am waiting for the third season to come out. But that was one that it took about maybe four episodes before I was like, oh, you know what? I really do want to finish this.
Wow.
But it becomes like, for me, I've always said this, I'm a bit of a completist. So at that point, I already felt, like, pot invested. You know, at that point, I watched four episodes, and I think the season was only eight. Like, I was already halfway through.
Right.
I felt like I might as well finish it. And then it really picked up in the second half. That's a good question, though. I don't know. I would say two or three. What have you? What do you feel like?
I feel like you got to give it three, at least. You know, there was this one show on Netflix, Manifest. I don't know if you've heard about it, where, you know, they're in a plane and it lands 5 years later because they're in a storm. I gave that three episodes because I was intrigued by the storyline. I said, this could be a really cool series. Maybe it was the actors and actresses that just didn't, I don't know, grasp the dialogue correctly. But, yeah, I gave that three episodes. After the third, I said, I got to go. But majority of shows, like you said, like, I want to finish. Regardless if they're bad, I would like to finish this. Like, there was one show, I'm blanking on the name, about the Versace family. And it was a terrible show, but I watched the entire thing. The acting was horrible, but I was interested in the storyline.
Right. I watched the first episode of Manifest, and it was because somebody I was with wanted to watch the show. So I watched the first episode. I wouldn't have watched the show to begin with. Watched the first episode, didn't do it for me. So in that case, I bailed on that show after one episode. But I never would have watched the episode. Versace family. I don't know. I don't know what the show would be.
I believe it was about, Andrew Cunanan, the guy who killed Versace, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so it was a story about his life. Very interesting show. Wasn't my type of vibe, but I watched the entire thing.
Interesting.
It only got one season, and then they canned it, so if that shows you anything.
Have you ever been to the house?
No, I've never been to the house, but they did show the house a lot in the show. I've seen the pictures, obviously. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, because Versace was the one in Miami, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when he walked out his front door.
And Andrew Cunanan killed him on his front doorstep. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been to the house. I haven't been inside. My parents have been inside because I think they turned it into like a restaurant now.
Mm.
Part of it, at least. I think you could like take a tour, and then I think there's a place to even eat in there. My parents have been inside. I've been to just the gate. Because it's on like South Beach right there. So you're walking by, and I've seen the house. I think my parents actually went inside. Happened right there.
20 years ago, that part of South Beach was amazing. Now, I mean, it's just an absolute, it's horrible down there.
I wasn't a fan. I wasn't a fan when I went. And I've been there a couple times. The first time I went was for work. Went to Miami. We went down to South Beach. We were walking around. We went out to eat. I was with a women's basketball team. We went to eat at the Clevelander. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the Clevelander, there's women like dancing in cages.
Oh, yeah.
At the Clevelander.
Nice.
And I'm with like a women's I don't think that was, I don't know why they picked that restaurant.
So this is a good vibe for a before game meal.
Yeah, it was a little odd. I'm with a bunch of women athletes and like there's women dancing in cages. And I thought I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable. It's a work trip. We're here. We're getting ready for a tournament. This is the place you guys picked. Felt a little odd.
Can we just go to an Olive Garden, please?
Come on. What's going on here? Go to the Clevelander. Which is a well-known place, but I don't think for a women's basketball team to go for a team meal. It's very odd. Anyways. All right, with all that said, let me rant about golf for a moment. I think golf, this is where the PGA Tour is getting it all wrong. We have players that are now leaving the tour and others that are at least entertaining the thought of leaving. Imagine another sport where this would happen. It wouldn't. All right, the NFL in the 80s had to deal with the USFL. But the USFL never was a great danger to the NFL. The NFL was plucking the players, right? You could always see which direction's the traffic going. When you go to the beach, everybody's driving towards the beach because that's where they want to be. The traffic is going in that direction, right? Traffic is going towards downtown because everybody wants to be downtown. When the traffic is driving towards the NFL, guys are leaving to go to the NFL. That's because they want to be in the NFL. The USFL was no real threat in the 80s for the NFL. ABA and the NBA, same idea. The ABA was no real threat for the NBA. The ABA, the owners were hoping to get their teams in the NBA, and eventually, right, the NBA chose, what was it, eight of them, six of them? They took some of the league, not all. You wanted to be in the NBA, you wanted to be in the NFL, even though we had these competitors going on these other leagues. That maybe seemed like they were putting a dent into the NFL, a dent into the NBA, and the NBA was not the NBA it is now. The NBA was struggling back then. They had to merge to really benefit the NBA as well. But the point being, the NBA was not going to disappear to the ABA. The NBA won out. The NFL was not going to disappear for the USFL. The NFL won out. Even now, all these other football leagues start up, and they're no threat whatsoever. Major League Baseball doesn't really have another competitor. There's independent leagues that does nothing, even against minor league baseball. Affiliated minor league baseball, like the River Dogs, do better than the independent teams. I say all that because for golf, right now, there is this competitor. This Saudi Arabian-backed tour, or at least events, the LIV events, L-I-V. And they're already putting a little bit of a dent. I mean, you had Mickelson, big name. I know he's towards the end of his career, but that's a household name, a very popular golfer on the PGA Tour. You have Dustin Johnson now. You have Taylor Gooch, who's a little bit of an up-and-comer. Even had Rory McIlroy, who came down hard on Mickelson, but then earlier this week said, nah, the PGA Tour shouldn't be so strict on these guys going to play over there. Suddenly now he was defending it. We've had rumors about other guys. We've had conversations with Jack Nicklaus. Apparently a broadcaster just left the Golf Channel to go join this LIV Tour. Right? People are defecting to go over to this competitor. Now, I have ranted previously on the show about the golfers who are always complaining, who think they have it so bad on the tour, right? Who it's not good enough that right nobody can talk when you're golfing, and it's always so perfectly manicured, the courses you play on, and you get to go drink in the clubhouse when you're done, and you only have to play a couple of times a year. But in this case, I have to come to the defense of the golfers. This all comes about because yesterday, Hideki Matsuyama was DQ'd from the event. He was disqualified. Why? Because he had a marking on the face of his club. He had a white outline that essentially was the outline of a golf ball, like where you would want to impact the ball, that spot on the club. Just like, you know, in basketball, when you shoot foul shots, they say to aim. Well, people teach you different things. Some people tell you to aim for just past the front of the rim. Others will say aim for the back of the rim. But when you line yourself up, there's always a nail in the floor on the foul line, which is exactly lined up with the rim. That's how they measure out the foul line. They put a nail on the floor. They measure it out. So when you set your feet, you put your right foot, if you're a right-handed shooter, on the nail. If you're a baseball player, right, they always say, right, hit the ball on the label. You try to line up a certain part of the bat to the ball. Same idea for golf. You want to hit it on a certain part of the club. So Matsuyama, I believe, grabbed the wrong club that had this outline. It had a white outline. He used it. He got DQ'd. Now, it was a white outline on a black club. They said if it was not a white outline, it would be fine. The problem wasn't so much the marking on the club, but it was that it was white. People that know more about this than I do say that the substance on the face actually would decrease spin rate, which is the opposite of what somebody like a Matsuyama would want. So really, what was the advantage? It wasn't like you're taking steroids and boosting the distance of your drive. It wasn't like he was gaining something. Sure, maybe it helps to help him line up his shot, but is it really that huge of a deal or that big of an issue or that big of an advantage? And Matsuyama got DQ'd yesterday for the first time in his career because you could go look up the photos. There's a white circle on his club face. Not an illegal substance, and like, you know, it's not like a performance enhancer. That's what it was. I think it's ridiculous. I think a lot of these rules in golf are ridiculous. And I think golf, or specifically the PGA Tour, at times, you know, struggles to get out of their own way. And when Mickelson or others complain, like Sergio Garcia complained a few weeks ago, in this case, I get the complaints. Matsuyama gets DQ'd. He's done. He had to go home. He's removed because of a white circle on like his 3-wood or whatever it was, his driver. I don't even know what club it was. There's a little white circle on the club face. Come on. Because of that, the guy's disqualified. He's done. Can't compete this weekend. Right? No earnings for you. Go home. You're done. I think it's ridiculous. When you drive and you're driving, are you looking out the rear view mirror, or are you looking through the front windshield? I would not recommend you try this at home or this afternoon, but if you try to drive only looking at the rear view mirror, things are not going to go well. And baseball and golf are in a similar area where these are two sports that are based in their traditions and like the history and things that haven't changed in years. And golf has their strict rule book, and baseball has their unwritten rules that you can't disobey, don't celebrate home runs, yada, yada, yada. And they're two sports that are also, well, they're not growing. They're falling off in interest, right? Baseball's concerned about attendance, and golf has not increased the number of golfers in this country since 1997. It's been 25 straight years that we're losing interest in golf. Not even the PGA Tour, in terms of people actually going out there just for fun, getting out on the course themselves. 1997 was the last time we had an increase, up 7% in 97. Since then, we're losing more golfers than we're gaining. Sports that are not necessarily growing. The average fan in Major League Baseball, I love Major League Baseball. I'm an outlier. The average fan of Major League Baseball is 57 years old. For comparison's sake, the average fan of the NBA, 37 years old. And you always have to. This is the big talking point in Major League Baseball. We got to get younger fans because eventually the people that are supporting us right now, not to be morbid, right, but it all becomes our time. You have to have that next generation ready to then slide in. Keep building that fan base. Major League Baseball, the average fan is 57. NBA, 37. I don't have the number for the NFL. I'm sure it's probably even younger than 37. Everybody loves football. College football, same idea. But golf and baseball, the two sports, that it's like an older crowd, based in tradition. They're historic sports. Baseball was the old pastime. Not anymore. Golf was the classic thing that you would always do. Not so much anymore. People aren't going out as often as they used to. That was a classic pastime in your own life, your own activity. You would watch baseball, you would go hit the links. Not so much anymore. And I think golf does itself a little bit of a disservice, right? We have private clubs. What other sports are that restrictive or cut off? Right, private clubs, a little bougie. The reputation or atmosphere can be a little stuck up in the golf community. Tiger Woods had to lead to a lot of changes in the sport. What the women have done on the tour has led to some changes, getting with the times, adapting on the PGA Tour, just in the golf world in general. But if you look, like, think of the great movies in golf, the great golf movies made over the years. they're all about things from 50 years ago. The last three great movies in that sport, probably Bagger Vance, The Greatest Game Ever Played, and the movie about Bobby Jones. None of them took place recently. They're all telling you the great stories from 50 years ago. And then if you want to go back to 25 years ago and you want to tell me Happy Gilmore, Happy Gilmore, really, the idea of the movie is kind of mocking golf culture. That this guy comes in from hockey, and he's not buttoned up, and he's wearing a jersey, right? And he's swearing on the tour, and he's fighting. And yet people loved it. In the movie, that is. Right? Everybody got behind Happy. And they hated Shooter McGavin, who is that buttoned-up, old-school type of golfer. But the fans in the movie, and I know it's only a movie, but they rallied around this new guy who was having fun and shaking it up a little bit, and he wasn't your typical golfer, and he didn't wear the same outfits that everybody wears. You go to a golf event, even the people in the crowd are wearing, they're dressed like a golfer. Right? These traditions, the history, these silly rules that you have to maintain. And now golfers seem to have a legitimate other possibility. And some have already bailed, and others are thinking about it. And it's why I said the PGA Tour needs to come down hard, because I think this could only get worse, losing more of their talent to a competitor. And now, look, the main thing is probably money. That's why Mickelson will make the move. That's why Dustin Johnson, they're giving him $125 million. That's hard to turn down. But I'd also say for Dustin Johnson, he was making plenty of money on the PGA Tour. It's not like he's desperate or he can't feed his family. He was being a little more selfish, sure, maybe, right? They're giving him a pay upgrade. But it's not like the PGA Tour can't offer enough money for these guys to want to stick around. It's not like they're paying them peanuts. They're getting paid very well. But this new alternative is less work. They only play 54 holes. Less competitive. There's no cut line. More beneficial financially. They're offering more money. And I don't know if they're going to have the same rule book as the PGA Tour or not, but when you have like Hideki Matsuyama, if I was Hideki, like I'd be ticked off. This is what I'm getting kicked out for. This is what I'm getting disqualified for, something this minor. And then if the LIV Golf Tour comes knocking and say, hey, we could double your pay. You don't have to worry about these silly infractions. Sure, right? The money, right? It's quote-unquote blood money, but you know, you entertain the idea. Golf and baseball, two sports that at times can't seem to get out of their own way. Stuck in the past. Go try to drive around looking in just the rearview mirror, see how it goes. Sometimes you have to have foresight. You have to look ahead to see what's coming ahead of you and be ready for it. And those are two sports that I think struggle at that at times. I don't want to put anybody on blast, right? But when you get these historic institutions, like I could tell you when they allowed drinking for the cadets, the undergrads at the Citadel, a lot of alumni were not happy about that. But again, it's about, you know, kind of keeping up with the times, adapting. Blockbuster didn't do so. They're no longer around, right? Netflix, Amazon, they've come along ahead of the curve, and they're dominating the marketplace. Some of these other companies that couldn't adapt, no longer around. Or they're really struggling right now. Restaurants that were able to get a good takeout business during the pandemic, they're flourishing. Others, unfortunately, had to close their doors. Right, don't be stuck in traditions, and this is how we have always done it, and this is how we're going to continue to do it, because the PGA Tour is finding out that's also how you can lose golfers. You're chasing them away. Now, of course, the money helps, but some of these other silly things, Sergio Garcia upset a few weeks ago with the rules, Hideki Matsuyama upset yesterday, Mickelson complaining about the rules or the way the guys are treated. In this sense, I can defend the golfers. I watched that yesterday. I thought, this is ridiculous. What are we doing here? Because he has a white circle on the club face. You're going to disqualify him like he's cheating. If it was black and not white, he would have been fine. But because it wasn't so much the outline, it was because it was a white outline. I mean, semantics. What are we doing here? A lot of these rules to me are silly. They're outdated. Keep up with the times. Adapt. Right? Nobody can talk. Nobody can say anything. The golfers get very, very sensitive to this stuff. Golf and baseball, two sports that are looking more in the rear view than the windshield. And that's obviously not a great way to drive. When we come back, concerns about David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers. More Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. He's ranting about golf last segment. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston. However you listen to your podcast. I think this is just the start of something for for the PGA Tour. Should be the start of a concern for the tour. And it's why earlier this week I said I would really come down with a hammer to try to put an end to this. And and then you had Rory come to the defense of the golfers and we shouldn't be too harsh. It's a great, even though it comes from a sitcom, I've used it before. I used it back in the whole baseball scandal when teams were cheating in baseball. And it's from The Office. And it's a great theory from Jo Bennett, her character. And her, I think it was her father, worked in jails. And as she explains in the show, right, if somebody says you should come down really hard on that person, they're saying so with a clean conscience because they don't have to worry about it. But if somebody says, no, you should take it easy on them, maybe because they're doing something similar. And so we did that whole thing with the baseball cheating scandal. And we played audio from different guys on different teams. And the ones that said, right, the Astros, they should be suspended. They should give the World Series back. You knew those guys had nothing to hide. Because you wouldn't be saying such a thing if they were worried about getting caught for the same issue. Then you had other players in Major League Baseball saying, it's okay. We could forgive them. Those are the teams I do a little more digging on. The players that came to the defense of the Astros on other teams. Saying like, punishment was fine. We shouldn't be too harsh on them. It's more common in baseball. They're saying that because they know they got some skeletons in their closet. So I mention all that because when Rory says, we shouldn't be too hard on these guys, maybe because he's considering it as well. The other golfers that say, hey, kick them out. We don't want them back on the tour. Right, those are the ones that you may not have to worry about leaving the PGA Tour for somebody else. But the golfers that come to the defense of a Dustin Johnson and say, it's fine. He should be able to play in both. Because they're probably thinking of doing the same thing. They're looking at that price tag. Right, Rory, he's not going to win an event anytime soon, so you go sign with this other tour. I think it was guaranteed Dustin Johnson $125 million. I don't know how that works. I don't know if they're signing these guys to contracts or what, but from what I read, it looked like no matter what, he's getting $125 million from them, like no matter if he doesn't win any events. They just need names on their tour, or at least their events. It's not an official tour yet. They're just doing 8 events, but you get the idea. We usually talk golf on Wednesdays, but then this whole thing happened yesterday with Matsuyama, and I thought, this is ridiculous. And with that, I can also remind you about the golf tour continuing. Our summer golf tour continues after the weekend. Set your alarms. Put it on the calendar. Make sure you're by the computer Monday, 8 a.m. The next round of foursomes go on sale. Foursomes for just $98.90. And next week, it's the Rivertown Country Club. The foursomes will go on sale Monday at 8 a.m. Be there and get yours because they sell out in minutes. Head over to charlestonsportsradio.com and get ready Monday morning, 8 a.m. I got a Dave Tepper take after the last couple of days. I'll save that, though. We'll come back to that because I want to make sure we have enough time to dive in. But I have some concerns about David Tepper. And maybe if you're a Panthers fan or just a casual NFL fan that saw that transaction, David Tepper by the Panthers, maybe we were all hoodwinked, right? We were sold a bill of goods. But I'll get into that probably next hour. So call that a long-term tease. Hang around, and I'll give you my Tepper take later on because it's been some negative headline after negative headline with him. You're still waiting for the positive. Team isn't very good. A lot of drama off the field. It's very noisy. And I've compared him before to Jerry Jones and Steinbrenner. The difference was Jerry Jones won early. And then now, a lot of noise with the Cowboys, a lot of issues, not a lot of winning. George Steinbrenner, he had a good run in the 70s. They had the great run in the 90s. In between, he got kicked out of baseball for a while. Right? When you're winning, you look past a lot of this stuff. The obnoxious owner. Steve Ballmer has brought great success to the Clippers. For them, great success. The Clippers had never gotten to the conference finals, right? The Clippers have not been a great organization. Now there's some excitement. They have some star players actually choosing to be there. They're winning some playoff games. Ballmer is a lunatic on the sideline. Nobody cares because Clipper fans, they love it. They're winning. As soon as you start losing and the team, is picking in the top 10 every year, it's like, all right, wait, hold on. Maybe this guy's just crazy. But when it's working, you love it. When Steinbrenner's winning World Series, you deal with it, firing his manager every 3 months. But when they go through the terrible 80s and he gets kicked out of baseball, it's like, okay, this is ridiculous. What is our owner doing? Jerry Jones, same idea. Showing your draft board to the media at the draft. Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl in 25 years. Early on, no problem, winning Super Bowls. Now, it's like, hold on, this is an issue. So for David Tepper, it's like, wait a minute, we're not winning. And what is this guy doing? Causing all sorts of drama away from the field. Anyways, I'll give you my full David Tepper take coming up later on. We have to get to Trent's takes coming up in just a moment. Now, before, I don't want to take up the time of Trent's takes with this question or idea, but you had referenced earlier your bets. or your suggestions for last night, how did you end up doing?
0-3. We went 0-3. It was a bad night for the in the Corville camp over here on this side of the glass, Luke. But hey, we got game two. We'll bounce back. I think the Warriors win big in game two. So, you know, I'm definitely going to go hot. I said Steph Curry under, and of course, you know, we look at the box score first quarter, and he's already got 6 threes. So, you know, that was great. That hurt the bank account just a tad. But we're doing all right, Luke. We'll bounce back. Positive vibes from here on out for the finals.
That's right. Yeah, Curry came out in the first quarter, and I thought he took it personally. Everybody's saying he needs an MVP, yada, yada, yada. And then the last three quarters, he really didn't do much. Kind of disappeared. Didn't score in the second quarter, and in the fourth quarter, I think he made 2 shots. Now, he didn't get much help from those around him in his defense, but man, the way he played and shot it in that first quarter, I thought, oh my God, this is going to be the series of Steph Curry. And then he, just like his team, you know, faded in the fourth, and he didn't do much the rest of the way. I'm curious to see how he plays. Obviously, the Warriors in game two, but then even just Curry. Are we going to get the first quarter Steph Curry more commonly in this series, or the second half Steph Curry last night? Because everybody's waiting to pounce on this guy and tell you that, oh, he's never won an MVP. He doesn't play as well in the finals. I mean, people are giving him a hard time about last night. He went for 35. He was the only one that played well on his team. I thought he played well. I can't crush him. But we'll get to Trent's takes when we come back. Any CrossFit this morning, or you learned your lesson?
No CrossFit this morning. Luke kind of took it easy this morning, a little light stretching, and we're here feeling good for Trent's takes coming up here.
I went to the gym yesterday. I always go after the show. I'm not a morning guy.
Yeah.
No way can I work out. My mother always says that. Why don't you get your workout out of the way in the morning? You'll be energized. No. I can't. I have no energy to go run because I don't lift. All I do is run. I'm not getting up early to go running. I don't have it in me. So I went to the gym yesterday. Quick story. I get on the treadmill. We have 3 treadmills. There's a woman in there. She comes over. She picks the treadmill right next to me. What are you doing?
Can't
we got
do
3 treadmills. I'm all the way to the right. You never pick the – you ever walk in and there's somebody in the middle of the three and they make you have to choose a treadmill next to them? That is bad awareness. If you walk in and there's nobody on the treadmills, you have to pick one either all the way to the left or the right. Don't pick the middle treadmill where you force people to come run next to you.
That's gym rules 101 right
Absolutely.
There. You make sure you leave enough space so – you know, if there's 2 people in there already, you have the middle spot open if there's going to be a
right.
third person that comes in. That's ridiculous.
Yes, at that point, SOL, if you're that third person. You got to go in the middle. Sorry. So that's not where it ends. She chooses the treadmill right next to me. She gets on the treadmill, and she's, like, trying to push things. She doesn't know how to turn the thing on. I have my headphones in. I've shared before, I usually have my headphones in because, let's be honest, I don't want to be bothered. But especially when I'm running on the treadmill. I'm running. I got my headphones in.
Yeah.
She just starts yelling, how do you turn this on? And she wasn't even looking at me the first time she said it. And she's like banging on the treadmill. She was like, she had her hair all over the place. I don't know. She was having maybe a tough day. So I pause my music. Right? I'm running. I got to grab my phone, pause my music. I turn to her mid sprint here, mid run. I'm not running that fast. And I said, I thought I heard what she said. I said, what was that? And she said, how do you turn this on? And I said, touch the screen. It's touchscreen. She touches the screen. Oh, okay. And then as she's on the treadmill next to me, it looked like she was talking with her hands, having a conversation with herself. It's very distracting to me.
Yeah.
She was doing like a fast-paced walk, and the whole time her hands are moving around like in front of her face. I don't know if she was trying to keep brushing her hair back. I couldn't tell. But she kept moving her hands around like she was having a very animated conversation with herself.
Did she she didn't have headphones in?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because she didn't have headphones in because then she took a phone call on the treadmill.
Oh, that ain't good.
And
that
she picked
good.
Up the phone and she was holding the phone to her ear and talking just as she asked me the same volume that she asked me how to turn the treadmill on. She was talking on the phone.
That's
very loud.
That's like, it's like in airports when you see somebody like on speakerphone, you know, talking to somebody. Oh. It's like, I'm cool if you're on a call with your headphones in because we're only hearing what you say and that doesn't matter.
Right.
But if I'm listening to a full conversation, oh my God, that's horrible.
She broke at least 3 big rules. Chose the treadmill next to me when there was another open one. Tried to talk to me while I'm running. When I'm not trying to have a conversation on a run. I'm out of breath as much as it is. And I'm listening to music. I got to answer her questions. And look, you know, she was asking for help. I was helpful, so I helped. And then she's talking on the phone on the treadmill. Unbelievable. That was my experience yesterday. When we come back, we'll get to Trent's takes. The Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. You can always catch the show on demand. If you ever miss anything from the show, just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. We'll get back to the NBA Finals coming up next hour, plus David Tepper, some concern with the Panthers owner as well. But we do it around this time each and every day. We find out what's on the mind of the producer. It's time for Trent's Takes.
What's on the mind of the Morrow Midday Show producer?
Draft Luke Morrow.
That's Panthers. Right.
It's time for Trent's Takes.
The radio cowboy will be coming, and he's coming soon, folks. Luke, quick thought on the game one of the NBA Finals yesterday. Look, we talked about it on the show all week that the Warriors aren't the team to fall behind to, and the Celtics have been known to do that over this entire playoff run. They showed resilience in that fourth quarter. I don't know what happened to the Warriors team. I mean, it doesn't help when two starters, Kevon Looney and Draymond Green, combine for 8 points apiece. Like, that's not going to get it done, especially when you have the big man presence that the Boston Celtics do with Al Horford. And again, we have no idea how many times Al Horford's going to be able to do what he did last night. I wouldn't assume that's going to be through the entire series, but man, he looked good. And Derek White looked good. Jason Tatum had an off night. But remember, Luke, 2 weeks ago I mentioned if the Celtics were going to win this series, a guy to watch for MVP would be Jaylen Brown. And he had a great game last night. And if he continues to do that, man, this series is going to shift very quickly. I didn't want to call game one of this series a must-win for the Warriors, but it really felt like a must-win considering the fact that the Celtics, every time they go home, they have a huge home court advantage. And I know the Heat stole one from them game six of the Eastern Conference Finals, but it's tough to play in Boston, man, especially when we're coming from San Francisco, going to Boston after playing two games. That's no small task, and now the Warriors are going to have to play with their backs against the wall. Can Curry do it again? 35 points. Personally, I think he's going to have an off night coming next time, so Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson are going to have to step up. But if the Celtics continue to play the way they did last night, especially in this fourth quarter, this could wrap up, and it could wrap up sooner than we all expect, Luke. 4 or 5 games. If they continue to play like this, because last night, yeah, the start for the Warriors was absolutely incredible. Actually, not even the worst. Steph Curry was incredible at the start, but they just fell apart. And I don't know if that's their age catching up to them, but Draymond Green and Kevon Looney need to step up if they're going to start for that team. If not, put Jordan Poole in there with Kevon Looney and figure it out from there. Because if those guys aren't getting points, there's no chance that the Warriors win this series.
Yeah, you know, if you're right. If the Celtics shoot, you know, 51% from three, the Warriors are not going to win a game. I mean, they shot it so well, especially Al Horford looked like a guy who's been waiting 15 years to finally play in the NBA Finals, and boy, did he take advantage last night. That was the big thing to me, is that the star players of the Celtics, or I should say the supporting cast of the Celtics, were the stars, because Jason Tatum was terrible. And for the Warriors, outside of Steph Curry, they didn't get much, so that was a huge difference to me. And I've always had this theory. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. I don't know. I almost feel like you'd rather not have home court advantage. This sounds crazy. In a 7-game series, because I always feel like the home team is the one that's kind of on the defensive to begin. All the Celtics have to do is win one out of two.
Yeah.
Then you go to Boston. If you win both there, you're up 3-1. Not often does a team blow a 3-1 lead. So if you're the home team, yeah, it's great if you start off 2-0. But you better make sure, you know, I think the pressure's on the home team. You have to win both of these two games to start the series, because if the Celtics or any road team just wins one, they did their job, and I think they won that two-game stretch. So I've always had this theory that I almost feel like it's an advantage to be the road team. You just have to win one out of two at home, or I should say on the road. Then you go home, where if you win both, you're up 3-1, you can put the series away.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I was laughing at people that said it was a must-win for Golden State Game 1, but it turns out it probably is. Like, when we look back on this series, once it concludes, that might have been a pivotal game for the entire series. Unbelievable last night by the Boston Celtics. Quick shout-out, Luke. I meant to do it yesterday for the Ukraine, Ukraine's men's national team. They beat Scotland 3-1 in their World Cup playoff semifinal. One win away from qualifying for the World Cup, and they will be in the USA's group for the World Cup coming up in November. But a shout out to them. They hadn't played soccer in 6 months. They all get back on the pitch, and they win 3-1 in a very crucial game that a lot of people did not think they could win. Shows their resilience as a people, as a whole. Good for the Ukraine men's national team, Luke.
Yes, I'm pulling for them. Yeah. Our country and their country as well in this whole thing. So glad they. Hopefully they keep on winning, unless... If they play us, I don't know. I guess I got to pull against Ukraine. But hopefully they win all their other games.
That's the tough part about this, right? It's like I want Ukraine to do good, but when you're playing the boys, you're playing the boys, and the soccer Lombardi's coming home. I apologize to everybody, but it's coming home to its rightful owner where it belongs, Luke. So that will happen in November, but shout out to the Ukraine men's national team. We got some NFL questions. Didn't do them yesterday. Going to give you two today, Luke. Hope you're ready and prepared for them. You put me on the spot, I put you on the spot.
That's fair.
Who has a better chance of winning 10 games? This is all plus money odds here, Luke. The New York Giants at plus 270 or the New York Giants, and the Detroit Lions at plus 420. Who has a better chance out of those two teams to win 10 games? I'll say mine right now. I know you're a Daniel Jones guy. I believe more. I don't think any of these teams will win 10 games, the ones I just listed. But I would believe more in the Detroit Lions right now and Motor City Dan Campbell to win 10 games over Brian Daboll and the New York Giants.
Wow. Yeah, I would say the Giants. I agree with you. I wouldn't bet on either one of them. But if I had to choose the lesser of two evils here, I do think the Giants will be improved this year. I think Daboll coming in, I mean, that was the whole hope in hiring him. After seeing what he did with Josh Allen, you hope he could get something out of Daniel Jones, turn him around and save him this year. And that division to me is pretty wide open. I think the Cowboys will be worse this year than last year. The Eagles were under 500, have questions about them. And Washington, you know, I don't know how much better they'll be this year than a year ago. So the Giants have I think I picked them last year to win the division, and what a terrible choice that was. But maybe this is their year. I will say, though, I have defended the Lions this offseason. They've become a punchline. They could beat the Bears both times. They'll probably steal one against the Vikings. They lost a lot of close games a year ago, and athletes are creatures of habit. Playing every game at one, maybe it's a benefit. The Bengals only played one game last year on primetime. They went to the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, but it could be a benefit to have the same schedule every week. Maybe the Lions, I don't think they win 10 games, but they might surprise some people by winning more than expected.
1 o'clock games, man. 1 o'clock games. Everybody shows up 1 o'clock. You know the time. Absolutely love Dan Campbell. I would love to play for him. They wear the salty shirts, and I can't even imagine how those were, you know, created. He's an awesome coach. But I would say the Lions, as of right now, I trust Jared Goff. Crazy to think that I'm, you know, even saying I trust Jared Goff. I trust Jared Goff right now more than I do Daniel Jones, just because he's been to a Super Bowl and he's had success in the NFL. Now, how good will Jameson Williams be going forward for the Detroit Lions? He didn't seem too happy in the pictures they were posting as soon as he was drafted that he was going to the Detroit Lions. I remember I was watching draft coverage, and Darius Butler, as soon as Jameson Williams was drafted to Detroit, he said, man, I feel for that kid. So hopefully Detroit is turning it around with Dan Campbell, but I'd probably say the Detroit Lions as of right now, especially with Kayvon Thibodeau having an injury and may not be available for training camp. That could hurt the defensive line for the Giants, going forward. So we will have to see. Luke, another NFL question for you. This one's about the Super Bowl. Are you ready? Are you ready, sir?
I think so.
All right. Who has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl this coming season? The Indianapolis Colts, who you're very high on, and I am not, and the Cleveland Browns. Plus 2,000 for the Browns, plus 2,200 for the Colts. Which is the better bet as of right now, Luke Morrow? June 3rd.
Man, without knowing Deshaun Watson's availability or punishment, I mean, if you could tell me Deshaun's playing all the games, I would say the Browns have the better chance if Deshaun's out there. I don't know. The news this week has not been great for Deshaun. People are saying he could be suspended for the whole year, maybe 8 games. If he misses half the season, that's probably enough to keep the Browns certainly from winning the division, maybe missing the playoffs. So I'm going to assume, I'm going to give you both answers, because if Deshaun plays all the games, I think the Browns. But I'm going to assume, I have to calculate this into the equation, I'm going to assume he's going to be suspended for a while. So I'm going to say the Colts.
Okay.
I think with Deshaun missing some time, that's really going to do the Browns in. And the Colts, I think they have all the pieces outside of the quarterback. Who knows? Maybe things click for Matt Ryan this year, and the Colts go on a surprise run in the AFC.
Yeah, no doubt, Luke. And, I mean, the AFC is going to be tough, but if any team could do it, especially if the Browns, you know, go 1-4 without Deshaun Watson at the start, between those two teams, it would probably be the Indianapolis Colts. Last thing here, Luke, you were talking about the PGA and the LIV Golf earlier. I think the PGA is getting real nervous. very, very nervous. LIV Golf can throw out a lot of money, and I understand the tradition around the PGA Tour, but I just looked it up. PGA Tour makes about $1 billion in revenue every single year, and the average, you know, tour player makes about 1.5. But we have to remember, if you don't make the cut, you don't make any kind of money. And the people on the back half of the PGA Tour aren't making a lot of money by any stretch of the imagination. That's really only the top players in the PGA. I think they're getting a little nervous. I don't mind the LIV Golf, quite honestly. If it's going to be fun golf, I'd appreciate that, because it does seem, golf just seems so repetitive week in and week out with all these tournaments. I think the PGA is just getting a little nervous because they're seeing these paydays that everybody's getting, and I would never fault an athlete for trying to get the most money as possible at all. So I don't fault Dustin Johnson for wanting to take that $125 million when he's only made $75, which only. But, I mean, he's the third. Think about this. $75 million, he's the third, highest earner in PGA Tour history. Like, only 75 is crazy to say, but like Tiger Woods only made 100 in the PGA Tour. He's a billionaire. He had to do everything outside of the PGA Tour with sponsorships and things of that nature. Now you could say the PGA Tour gave them the opportunity to get those sponsorships. But at the same time, if a tour is putting money up, that's all these guys should really care about at this point, especially when your legacy seems like it's kind of cemented.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with DJ. It's not like he wasn't making money. He has a chance to make more, but I think there's even more to it than just the money as well, which was part of my point earlier. Competition is always good for businesses. It brings out the best in companies and people. But the problem is, if the competition's taking all your talent and you can't adapt or stay a step ahead or keep up, that's where you fall behind. That's what happens to, again, a Blockbuster or some of these other stores that Amazon has put out of business, or restaurants that unfortunately have gone under. So that's going to be the test for the PGA Tour. I don't know if you can stick truly with the status quo. I think something needs to be adjusted, even if it's minor, a minor tweak, because if you start losing a bunch of talent to this other tour where they're making more money, that's where things could really be tough for the PGA Tour. We'll see what happens. We'll wrap up Hour 2 next. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Wrapping up Hour 2 on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We were talking about Saban earlier and how much power coaches really have in college football. You can find that on demand if you missed that conversation from last hour. I love this story, though, from the SEC meetings this week down in Florida. An LSU fan snuck past security to get to Nick Saban and offer him $5,000 to retire. A desperate LSU fan said, "We got to get this guy out of here," even though LSU just won a national championship a couple years ago. But offered Saban $5,000. I think it's going to take more than $5,000 to get Saban to retire. I think he's got plenty of money. He's 70 years old. It's not like he's, I think he's set for the rest of his life. $5,000 from a fan. I love the idea. The best part is the kid's a junior in high school. Snuck past security. How did he get $5,000 to just give to Nick Saban or try to this week? I think this kid may be part of that LIV Golf Tour as well. A high school junior, LSU fan. Down in Florida, snuck past security and said, "Nick, I'll give you $5,000 just to go away. End the madness. Make it easy on us." By the way, high school junior, for an LSU fan, you only have had so many years of Nick Saban. You don't remember most of those years. And one of the years was winning a national championship for LSU recently. But he's had enough of Saban. Offered him $5,000. Saban didn't take it. Hour 3 coming up next. We'll get back to the NBA Finals and that crazy fourth quarter last night. Plus, some thoughts on David Tepper. It's the More Midday Show on ESPN Radio.